Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast with me, Susie Perry.
And me, Jason Bradbury. And we're kicking off today with a shout out to our sponsor, CEX.
CEX is the smart way to buy and sell tech. Phones, consoles, laptops, tablets, all at great prices and all with a 5-year warranty.
Whether you're upgrading your kit, grabbing a bargain or hunting for something retro, CEX has you covered. Just head to webuy.com or pop into one of nearly 400 UK stores.
Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast inbox edition, the place where your stories and gadget dilemmas take centre stage.
Yeah, this is where we dive into the tech mailbag. Everything from your headphone heartbreaks to your air fryer success stories.
This week, Rogue Ally X or wait for Steam Deck 2? And how on earth did Rockstar spend over $1 billion to make Grand Theft Auto 6?
Yes, it's almost like I suggested these titles myself. I'm so excited. Okay, Alan Goodwin asked, should I buy the new Rogue Ally X or wait for Steam Deck 2? What a dilemma. I'm with you all the way. I'm going to assume that you might also have either meant or you might want to include the Rogue Xbox Ally X, okay, as opposed to the Rogue Ally X, which has two distinctly different consoles. The latter is available now. I think it was released in 2024. And the new Xbox variant you may have heard about is coming out this side of Christmas. Pre-orders are happening kind of nowish. And then Steam Deck 2, which of course is, I mean, it's, we don't know when that's coming out. We don't know what the spec, the hardware spec or design is going to be of the Steam Deck 2. I'm a huge Valve advocate. I love my Steam Deck, as you probably know. We've featured it on previous episodes of this pod in the last few series or so. But, you know, I would never, I mean, this is the early adopter's dilemma, isn't it, Suze? You know, you hear rumors and, oh, should I commit? I think if you see something you like, you should commit. But what I would do is I'd put a little caveat there. And when I say commit, I'd be committing to the Rogue Xbox Ally X. And I'll tell you why, because both it and the Rogue Ally X or Ally are capable of running Steam, I'm pretty sure. Let me know in comments if I've got that wrong. So you can do a lot of what the Steam Deck does. I would argue that the seamless integration of hardware into many Steam titles, which is the Steam Deck Ready symbol that you get on Steam, means that that particular piece of hardware, and by extension the Steam Deck 2, is always going to give you a more reliable hardware to software experience, right? But you could also argue that given Microsoft's close input on the Rogue Xbox Ally X, that could also be the case there. The hardware software working seamlessly. I know it's going to boot up basically as an Xbox, but I'm told from my research and from the launch that you're going to be able to run Steam on that. And I'm assuming you can run it on the Rogue Ally X. What I have done is a little bit of research here, which is just a quick guide that may persuade you to wait a little bit longer than maybe, you know, tomorrow for the actual Xbox Ally X variant. And that is this. The Xbox Ally X uses the newer Ryzen A1 Z2 Extreme, which adds the AI NPU, whether you believe that that's going to be a major gain or not, bringing AI-assisted CPU and GPU improvements. So how that translates, what it actually is like, whether it's that noticeable in terms of the gameplay experience, I don't know. There's some differences as well around the better ports on the Xbox Ally X, USB 4, DisplayPort 2.1, Thunderbolt 4, etc., etc., although there are two variations of the Rogue Xbox Ally and the Rogue Xbox Ally X, the latter being the one that I'm referring to. I think also you're getting some battery and power improvements. Again, I'm kind of just answering on the fly to this, so do fact check this. Bottom line, Suze, my advice, Steam Deck 2 has not been announced at this point of recording, so I would say go with the Rogue Ally X, the most powerful of the Xbox flavor of the Rogue Allies.
Unless, of course, Alan, you're extremely patient and you want to wait, which Jason isn't.
That's very, very true. that's very, very true. And also, you know, the other thing with Valve is that they could well release another VR helmet before they release another Steam Deck. So, you know, it may not be as imminent as you want it to be.
So Nick Davis has asked the question, any chance of The Gadget Show coming back to TV? Now, Nick, we do get asked this a lot, and I think we both feel like The Gadget Show had an amazing run. We together had an amazing run on it. Obviously, we started it, and we loved it, and it was massive, great fun. And we got tech when it first came out, when it was cutting edge, and we showed it first on TV. And obviously, things have changed so much now. Everything is online before you can get it on TV. So we would be out of date before the TV show had even gone out. And I think television has changed so much as well. And, you know, consumer shows like this just aren't commissioned anymore. But the future is here right now on the podcast. And that's what we're pushing forward with. The Gadget Show will forever be, you know, on the pod. And we can be much more immediate. We can be much more intimate and we can react straight away. So, no, we will never be on the television with this again. But we are here.
Nicely put. Yeah, great question, but really good answer.
Thanks.
Great. I was really inspired by that.
Mark Davis has got a question for you.
Okay.
He says, I was reading that the upcoming GTA 6 has cost Rockstar between $1 and $2 billion. How is that even possible when some of the biggest movies only cost $200 million?
So, yeah, interestingly, Mark, I'm from Lincoln, as you probably know, and that's where one of Rockstar's big studios are. So it's interesting, actually, for me. I'm personally very invested, super excited about the game. I think, $1 billion for a video game sounds crazy, but it's probably about right. So core development costs, I'd say, given the time that they've taken and where they're going in terms of the next-gen graphics, the open nature of the game, sort of sandbox element, between 500 and 650 million. I don't know what you think, Susie, about that sort of money.
Well, I suppose it's like, what is it, 2,000 to 3,000 staff over 7 to 8 years, something like that.
It's got to cost that sort of money. I mean, it's massive. So the reason it's so much more than the equivalent cost of a movie is that the pre-production time is so much longer, isn't it? Movies in relative terms compared to AAA gaming titles actually are short, quite short in their, you know, to develop, to market. Marketing and promotion, hugely underrated element of the budget. Between, get this, my research says between $250 and $400 million to market it. Half a billion, almost.
Those bloody influencers are expensive, aren't they?
They are. Global ad campaigns, TV, cinema trailers, YouTubers, TikTokers, Twitch adverts across all those platforms, big parties in multiple global zones, merchandising tie-ins. I guess a comparison would be that the total budget for GTA 5 was $265 million.
Yeah.
So when you think how old that game is, they still spent $250 million on it. And then if you also use the kind of film economics, which I think marketing of a movie can be between 30 and 50% of the total budget.
Yeah, so GTA 6 is going to dwarf that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gonna... but I haven't finished. There's more to put in your shopping trolley just yet. 100 to 150 million on distribution and partnerships. So this is sort of platform fees, Sony, Microsoft, because you've got to sell it, right? You've got to sell it.
And those, yeah, retailer partnerships, things like that.
Then there's the whole online nature of this open world experience. It's got to sit somewhere. It's got to go on a server, right? What's the cost over, say, 3 years? We reckon 200, topping out maybe at $300 million for dedicated servers, network engineering, maintenance, bandwidth, security, anti-cheat systems, those dreaded anti-cheat systems, customer support, unless they do it with AI. But then the AI systems are going to cost some money. So GTA 5's GTA Online, which is all I play now, I don't play the actual game anymore, became a huge cash cow. But infrastructure for that, you know, always on 24/7 online experience comes at quite a cost.
Right, to do a summary then of the breakdown that you've just suggested, you've got development 500 to 650 mil, marketing 250 to 400 mil, distribution 100 to 150 mil. Then you've got your online infrastructure 200 to 300 mil. Post launch content 200 to 300 mil. That's the guesswork. So the grand total of that is 1.25 to 1.8 billion. That is how it all breaks down. That is
and that's dollars, though. So it's so I don't know what $1.5 billion in pounds is, but it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, and it's
a lot of money. But it's probably going to get they're probably going to get it back within days of release.
I think you're right. But I think interestingly, Mark, your $1 to $2 billion as a question is pretty much bang on.
Yeah, you must have a financial brain.
Right, time for a quick shout out to our sponsors, CEX.
If you're a gadget fan, you will love them. From the latest smartphones to classic consoles, boxed games, VR headsets, laptops, even cameras and accessories, CEX is a tech paradise.
And because every item comes with a 5-year warranty, you can shop with total peace of mind.
Plus, if you've got old tech lying around, you can trade it in for cash or credit and maybe upgrade it to something that you actually want to use.
Cool. Sounds like a win-win. Check them out at WeBuy, that's WeBuy.com, or at nearly 400 stores across the UK.
Another question here, James Strangeway. He says, I'd be interested to know what the team's daily tech carry is and must-have items.
Susie.
Oh, mine are boring. Well, obviously, you know, I need some AirPods I use that I obviously put in the washing machine all the time. So I get through quite a lot of those. Probably carrying my backpack while I'm going to MotoGP. I've got my MacBook Air. I've got a power bank. I've got my phone. I don't take a camera because it's too much. That's probably me. I mean, you could probably add to that list.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got a power bank, which is the OmniCharge. I'm not associated with them or anything like that, but I absolutely love it. And you should check it out. They're very expensive. I seem to remember paying about 250 quid for my power bank, which I know is a lot of money. But when you consider that it's not mad big, all right, it's about the size of my, it's square. It's about twice as thick as my phone and a bit wider. So it's quite a large one, but not so large that I can't put it in a rucksack or take it with me when I go on the train, things like that. Or you could put it in a, you know, in a briefcase or whatever. Why? Because it's got wireless charging on the top. It's got USB-C ports. It does super fast charging. And there's an adapter. You can put a 3-pin plug into it and charge your laptop. It's ridiculously cool.
It's really cool.
So that's a serious way to take power on the go. I've got an iPhone 16 Pro, which is my go-to stuff for all my content. And obviously a lot of photography and film photography, because I'm always producing content. A lot of the stuff that the Patreon members of this here podcast get is me off my iPhone, because it's they always say, don't they, what's the best camera? It's the one that you got in your back pocket. But I do have a Sony a7S III that I often take around with me, which is a really great camera for video. Quite expensive, I would say, maybe too expensive, but if you want to take that to the pro level, that's what I would say. I'm setting off tomorrow, going up to Lincolnshire. I'm taking a drone with me, got the Avata 2, the DJI drone. I'm also taking my action camera, which because I want to do some photography stuff, which is the it's Active 5, the DJI phone. Again, got nothing to do with DJI, and they're never giving me anything free. They're not one of our sponsors. I just think their kit's really cool. And I get about where I live in Cornwall every day down the hill to the cafe on the one wheel, and I've got the Pint X variant, which is the small one, which I often take around London, put on the tube and all that sort of stuff. Range of different headphones, but normally AirPods, you know. And my Steam Deck. If I'm going on a train, I'll normally take my Steam Deck with me, because I like to play. I play pretty old school 8-bit, 16-bit retro games, but I like the Steam Deck. I love it. That's about it.
Yeah, I've got some Bose headsets as well, because sometimes I don't like sticking things in my ears when my ears get warm. I feel like it's, you know, heating my brain up.
Yeah, but I think both of us... I agree with you. The health implications of all of this stuff are slightly questionable, but... Yeah, ask us on another week, a couple of weeks' time, and there might be some other stuff. So it's a good question to ask. I think I'm just very focused on that, because I'm literally packing. I packed before the podcast tonight, because we're off early tomorrow.
Do you know I've got to pack? I've got to pack to go to Asia for 5 weeks.
Wow.
I've got four races across 5 weeks. I'm going to Japan, Indonesia, Australia and Malaysia, and all the temperatures are completely different, and I can only take one bag. Conundrum. So all the clothes that I wear in the next 4 or 5 weeks, this is nothing to do with tech, but I wish someone could pack for me. I wish some tech could pack for me. They're all going to be burgundy, chocolate or navy blue.
Well, you could ask AI, couldn't you? You could assist. You could get an AI assistant to help pack your clothes. You might end up wearing some really weird stuff. But what I was going to say is the one thing I don't have, and it'd be interesting if our viewers and listeners could tell me, I love graphic novels and I normally take three with me, like thin ones, like comic books, you know, what do you call it? Compendiums of comic books. I'm actually reading Kick-Ass at the moment. It's so good, Susie. It's really good. But I've always wanted a good solution that's full color, really large, long battery life, but lightweight tablet thingy. The only thing I've ever used is an iPad, and that's just a bit too heavy, a bit too expensive. So there you go. Maybe you could come up with something along those lines. What's the new one? We reviewed one, Nick. Didn't we review one in the last series?
Isn't the Kindle any good?
Is it colour? I can't even remember it.
But it's not. I think it's more pastel colours than.
Yeah, it is. That would sort me out. If I could get that, you know, with like 20 books on it, I'd be graphic novels, I'd be sorted. Let me know in the comments.
So listen to this. We put a little shout out on X for questions and Grok answered, which is obviously their AI. So we've got a question from Grok.
Hang on, what? Grok is independently responding to tweets?
Yeah. We put a shout out on X, Twitter, and Grok answered us.
What did he
say? So this is from Elon. Elon says, with AI advancing so fast, what's the weirdest gadget you think we'll see in homes by 2030? So in 5 years' time, what are you thinking?
I envisage a scenario where people will save money by living in blank spaces, and then they will paint them using augmented reality.
In 5 years?
I don't know about in 5 years, but let me go anyway. Off on a tangent.
Well, just say the future.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, the next 10 years. I just think, why would you bother when you can just have anything you want? And in maybe 5 years, 8 years maybe, you'll have incredibly efficient headsets that are tiny and comfortable, and the battery lasts for ages. And you can just have all your artwork and all your ornaments and stuff virtually.
I guess we're going to have mirrors that are going to be able to, you know, give you your sort of sporting update and all your stats about fitness, that kind of thing. That would be quite an easy one to do quite soon, I reckon.
I think so.
I'd like to have something that will pack my case for me. But I think also self-cleaning homes, we're getting closer to that, aren't we? That could happen in the next 5 years.
Yeah, the idea that the sort of bipedal robots are going to be walking about, Elon seems to think that's a thing, but I don't know. But I think certainly smart and effectively robotic household machines are going to take a lot of the drudgery out of life. That's my hope anyway. I would hope so. Maybe as well, if we're looking sort of a further future, maybe, and I always say this and everyone tells me to shut up, I'm an idiot, but is some form of what we would loosely describe as 3D printed food. And the reason I say that is, having had three kids, they're older now, so it's a bit easier. When they're little, oh my God, it's so stressful. And the notion of being able to, not all the time, but once in a while, especially with those with dietary requirements and maybe medical food needs, print out a little dinosaur with everything they need in it. It's not such a crazy idea. So I wonder if that might, I don't know, I wonder if that might make an appearance in the home of the future.
Well, it might be junk food. Okay, it's time now for the trivia drop, or as we like to call it, fact off.
Nice!
This is where Jason and I are going to go head-to-head with little nuggets of nonsense trivia to see who can come up with the most geekiest stuff. I've got one for you. The very first webcam ever, was it set up for security or video calls or anything sexy like that? It was back in 1991, and researchers at Cambridge pointed it at a coffee pot just so they didn't waste the trip across the office when it wasn't.
So the whole of streaming is based on someone pointing
laziness.
A rudimentary camera at a coffee pot so they didn't have to walk across the room. I don't think that's laziness. I think that is genius, actually. I love the fact that they probably had no concept where it might lead.
Exactly. That's the important part of this, isn't it, really?
Okay, my turn now. And this is another, you know, good trivia fact, having your back pocket for a pub quiz or, you know, a sort of one of those moments where you don't know what to say to someone you've only just met.
Oh, God.
The first ever...
Good job you're already married.
The first ever text message was sent in December 1992. And it was sent by a chap called Neil Papworth. He was a Vodafone engineer and he sent it to his mate, Richard Jarvis. And it simply said, Merry Christmas.
Oh, I wonder what you're going to say then, because he was an engineer. That's wholesome.
It is. It is. It's a lovely, lovely thing. There we go. Marvellous.
Right. Here's my closer. Yep. The term computer bug actually came from a real insect.
Okay.
So in 1947, Grace Hopper's team found a moth stuck in a Harvard computer relay, taped it to their logbook and called it the first computer bug.
Wow. So that's, and that's obviously where debugging comes from. Yeah. That's absolutely crazy.
Right, that's it for this week's Inbox Edition. Thank you so much for your questions and stories. We do love digging into your tech lives.
Yeah, I find it absolutely fascinating. So please keep them coming. The weirder the better. We'll take everything from retro gadget nostalgia to smart kettle meltdowns. Whatever you want to hit us with, we're ready and waiting.
And of course, a massive thank you to CEX for supporting the podcast. Don't forget that you can grab the latest tech or retro gems and trade in your old gadgets for cash or store credit, all with a 5-year warranty at CEX. Check them out at webuy.com, W-E-B-U-Y.com, or at one of nearly 400 CEX stores across the UK.
And remember, the main Gadget Show podcast drops every week too. So hit subscribe and we'll see you next time. Until then, keep your gadgets charged and your inbox uncluttered.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.